Okay, we're back. Welcome to Sanity in the World. Hope you're doing well. Today is April 22nd, 2015. Today we're going to talk about the economy and more specifically wealth disparity and basically how people are being affected with the current economic environment. There's a lot of factors to cover on this, and we'll start with the growing divide between the rich and the poor. This has been an issue that has been discussed a lot lately. It's been one of President Obama's big themes. It's been something that he's been mentioning, and a lot of people on the left keep mentioning. And it's true. There's definitely a big disparity between the wealthy and the poor. And the middle class is just being eroded because we have gone from a society that manufactured and produced things to a society that pretty much just consumes things. The manufacturing base has been decimated in North America and in Europe, and has been outsourced. And as a result, the middle class is being squeezed. Squeezed out. I mean, it exists, but it's becoming more and more difficult. And as a result, what you have is the big crushing the small, and people are just struggling to get by. The people with the deep pockets and the established businesses, the established contacts, are consolidating their positions. They have more money, more access to power, and they're making more money. The stock market has been on a roll for many years now. It's been really doing well. And the real estate market's been going up. So, again, who benefits from a strong stock market? Indirectly, you can make the case that everyone benefits from a strong stock market because if the stocks and the companies are doing well, they're hiring and employing people. But as a practical matter, I mean, that's good for the average guy. So if Walmart continues to do business, the average guy gets to keep his job. But if the stock market keeps going up, the shareholders are the ones that are benefiting from the value increase of the price of the shares. And I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but it's the rich people that have money in the market and that own the real estate that are benefiting from these gains, whereas the average people, I guess their benefit and their gain is that they get to keep their jobs or they get to keep things as a status quo. Now, the day-to-day costs of things that people need to live is getting more and more expensive, and it's growing much more than people's wages and salaries are. You know, there are a few things that do come down in price, but they're fewer and far between. Because of the fall in the price of oil lately, obviously gas has come down at the when you go fill up your car with gas at the tank, and if you heat your house with oil, obviously, you've gotten a bit of a break since the beginning of the year. A few other things that have gone down, electronics. I notice when I go look at TVs and other sorts of electronics, the prices of these things have come down dramatically. But those are really one-time purchases every so often. These are not recurring expenses that people have. And another thing that has come down in certain areas is certain types of clothing items have come down, especially depending on where you shop. I don't know if it's because of the economies of scale, the outsourcing, but certain clothing items have come down in price. But that's about it. That's all I can think of. On the flip side of that, as I mentioned before, the real estate market has gone up. So if you own properties, that's great. However, if you're looking to buy a house or you're looking to invest in properties, it's becoming more and more difficult and more expensive. The real estate markets in major metropolis areas has gone up. The prices in New York and London and Hong Kong are out of control. But these are the biggest cities in the world. Even in other major cities, which are not like the cities of the world, if you're looking at other metropolis areas, real estate's gone up, and people's wages haven't gone up commensurate to the price of real estate. And people are being squeezed. It's becoming more and more difficult to afford housing. A friend of mine lives in Vancouver, and he was telling me that he's concerned that his kids won't be able to live there and grow up there because the real estate market has gotten so out of control. And it isn't just about buying a house to live in. He's telling me that the real estate prices have gotten so expensive that the only people buying in certain neighborhoods are rich expatriates from China. And not only does it drive up the price of real estate, but the merchants in the area can't stay in business for two reasons. The first reason is obviously that the rents are becoming too expensive to maintain. And the second reason is because a lot of the people that own the housing in the area do not live there and are not there enough to support the local merchants. So the merchants are suffering and going out of business in some of these areas. And I've heard a similar thing is happening in London, England. Now, again, these are not the case in most cities, but it just encapsulates the problem that we have in the world about how the rich are getting richer and everyone else is suffering. Another thing that's gone up a lot is education. So much so that many people are saying nowadays that getting educated is not worth the investment. It's not worth the investment because if you want to go to a U.S. college and you've got to pay for your education and your room and board and everything else that's involved, you could be incurring debt of about $250,000. Now, when you get an education, obviously you want to go off and get a career after that. The first problem is that certain people are getting an education, incurring a debt of $250,000 in degrees that are, for all intents and purposes, useless. I don't even know what humanities is, but I've been told that there's courses on humanities and other sorts of programs where there's absolutely no job market for them, so you're basically spending 250 G's just to end up with a big load of debt. Another degree is something like psychology, which does lead to a career, but it makes no sense to invest $250,000 into a degree that's going to pay you $40,000 a year pre-tax. So the cost of education is becoming a big problem, and it's not becoming affordable for people, or it's becoming less affordable for people, excuse me. The other problem that we're having today is that more and more and more people are getting educated. And as a result, the job market is becoming more and more competitive. So even if you get a very practical degree, like law, for example, I don't know the statistics on this, but I've seen videos and news stories that talk about how law students get their degree and then they can't get a job in law because there's just not enough jobs out there. Now, again, always the best students are going to always find a job, but it's becoming a marketplace whereby the law firms in this particular case can pick and choose who they want, and they can also work them harder and pay them probably less because there's such a supply of potential young articling students or young workers or young associates. So all these things are factoring into the problem. Just to give you an example, I recently had lunch with a guy I knew growing up's father, and he said when he graduated university, Ernst & Young offered him a signing bonus for going to work for them. Today, there's no such thing, and in fact, you're lucky if you can even get a job at Ernst & Young, and things have changed. So there's real estate and there's education. We all know that the cost of healthcare is going up everywhere, so much so that, you know, in the United States, you have Obamacare, which has been the subject of some rigorous debates about what's involved and the costs and so forth. In Canada, the healthcare costs are going up. The healthcare costs are going up everywhere, and there's just simply not enough money to go around to cover it. Obviously, you have an aging population. People are living longer and having a better quality of life because of medical advancements and things like that. And there's also a lot more medical treatments that people have access to and want, and the system just cannot sustain it. So that's another thing that's squeezing people. And just the basic price of food has gone up. Groceries are going up. I've been noticing when I go to the stores that I'm paying the same or a little bit more for less amount of food in certain packages. And the general, you know, produce and other things are all going up. So, you know, what kind of a world are we heading towards where just the few rich people are controlling things and dictating what can and cannot be done, and everyone else is almost at their mercy? Where, you know, the beauty of the United States was the middle class and the lifestyle that the majority of the people could live. And that's disappearing. Are we heading towards a place like Mexico or some of these third world countries where the wealth is concentrated into the hands of the few and everyone else lives in poverty, where the crime rates go up and rich people's children are kidnapped and held for ransom? Where exactly are we going? This is one of the issues that I want to discuss. Now, the other thing that comes with this is debt, okay? Debt has become a huge issue. more people are in debt. This is happening for a number of reasons. First of all, one of the main reasons this is happening is the sheer availability of credit. Not that long ago, people just did not have access to credit like they do today. The debt levels of every government on every level, corporate debt, personal debt, are out of control. I've spoken with so many people that I know, and they all tell me that they just know so many people that are in such debt, and they don't know how they're going to get out of it, and that people just have gotten used to living with a debt load that they don't know how they're going to get out of. And that's a scary proposition because, you know, no one wants to live with the sort of Damocles over their head. And what happens to these people if they lose money or they lose their job and then they're forced to make payments that they can't afford to pay? What's going to happen then? Now, the problem with this is that this doesn't just affect young people. It affects old people, too. There's old people who have retired, who had a certain amount of money, might have lost it in the market and can't afford to live the way they want. They're incurring debt. Young people are incurring debt. I mentioned before about debt for education, you know, and then if you want to buy a house and take out a mortgage, that's more debt. People are maxing out their credit cards. And it goes on and on and on. Now, the truth of the matter is some of these things that people are incurring debt for are you could say a necessity, even though is an education a necessity? Some people will say yes, some people will say no. But for argument's sakes, if someone has debt because they went to college and someone has debt because they have a mortgage on their home, you know, that's understandable. Whether they can pay it or not is another story, but that's understandable. But how many people have debt because, yes, they need a home, but they take out the huge McMansion that they can't afford to maintain and upkeep? And when you have a huge house, it's not just the mortgage, it's the upkeep on the house, it's the taxes, it's the insurance, it's furnishing it, and so on and so forth. Anyone that owns a house knows whenever you have a house, there's always things that pop up. A roof leaks, a sidewall leaks fixing, the air conditioning can run down. There's always money that has to be poured into a house. And the bigger your house is, the more money that's involved in maintaining it. So how many people have bigger houses? How many people have spent money on so many things that they absolutely don't need, but they just can't help themselves and they just incur this and buy these things and incur this debt just because they want to keep up with the Joneses or have things that they either don't need or can't afford? And then how much of this is just the sad reality of people running up debt because just to get by on basic necessities, they can't. They just can't. So these are the problems that we have in our society vis-a-vis disparity of wealth and the way it affects people and so on and so forth. Another problem is we've spoken about the people that are in debt at the bottom end of the income level. The people at the top have so much money that they can just throw it around like nothing, and it becomes a problem in so much as anyone's entitled to do whatever they want. But how many people look at this and see that these other people have, and they want to emulate that, and they want to spend and be like that when they can't? And, you know, keeping up with the Joneses is becoming a big problem. Peer pressure is becoming a problem. I just read an article that spoke about how many of these NBA basketball players, I don't know if it was NBA or NFL, but it was one of those two leagues, where one out of every six player ends up filing for bankruptcy within, 6 or 7 years. I don't remember the exact numbers, but a staggering amount of people. You would think that these young people that make millions upon millions of dollars would manage their money in a certain way so that they don't go bust. But there was a player that was speaking, and he basically said that essentially what he said was that even though these guys are great athletes, they have no knowledge or skill set in terms of how to manage money and finance and budget. So if they sign a $10 million contract, that's what they're signing for, but they don't take into account the taxes that they have to pay. They don't take into account the agent's fees that they have to pay. They don't take into account their reps. They don't take into account other things that they don't anticipate. When they buy a house, they don't realize that if you buy a $2 million house, you need $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is a year to pay for the taxes and insure it and maintain it and furnish it and so on and so forth. And they just don't have the financial wherewithal to plan for that. They also said that peer pressure and keeping up with the Joneses is a problem because a lot of these athletes spend and have all these things, And, you know, the younger players are put, you know, the older players that are making more money take shots at the younger players that they don't have things, and the younger player tries to keep up. And a lot of these athletes have people that hang on to them. A lot of them have family members that think they just hit the lottery. A lot of them go out with girls that try and milk them and often get knocked up and then sue them for child support. And it goes on and on and on. So these are problems facing athletes that are famous and rich. But other people have different problems, not the same things. But they all, everyone in their own situation has financial problems. And everyone looks at the people that are around them and wants to keep up. So if the NBA player needs to have the extra fancy car and the extra jewelry to keep up with the veteran, the guy that's living down the street needs to have, instead of his Ford, he needs to have his Cadillac. And instead of, you know, a 42-inch screen TV, he needs a 60-inch screen TV. And it's endless. It goes on and on and on. So basically, these are the problems that we're having in today's world. And the question is, what do we do about it? How do we get people to live within their means? And how do we get people to be content? Because the truth is, happiness is all relative. And if someone's happy with what they have, that's really the most important thing. Let's just think about that and we'll come back. So we took a little break there. These are things that I want to discuss with people when they call. So let me know what you think. Let me have your opinion. I'm sure plenty of you have stories. I've heard so many stories about people, what they go through, what their friends go through. I've heard of story. I have a friend, he's a cop. He tells me everyone he knows is in debt. I know other guys that hang out in a more affluent crowd that say every single one of their friends' wives, all they want to do is spend money, and the guys don't know how to handle it because they can't say no to their wives, and the wives don't stop, and it's just taking a toll on them, and they don't know what to do because they don't want to get into a fight with their wife, but they can't keep spending and spending and spending, and it doesn't end. And there's so many other stories that I've heard of in between. A friend of mine, his wife goes out with her friend, and what this friend goes out and can spend on lunch is more than the family of five goes out for dinner. It's endless. It's endless, from wardrobes to bags to restaurants to travel to cars. There's no end to it. And everyone in their own little world has their own needs and wants. So this is something that I'd like people to sit around and discuss. So please call and we'll talk about it.